spent the last couple days out in Ohio at school and was blessed to hear a story that our professor told us about a few years ago in West Virginia where he was serving. There was one of his pastor friends where he went into this man's office, and while they were talking, the phone rang, and the pastor was talking on the phone, and his face turned a shade of white. And as he hung up the phone, our professor said, "What's wrong?" Well, there was a young black man in the community who was one of those kind of boys that trouble just seemed to find him wherever he went. But still, he kept coming to church, kept learning about God, and at one point had received Jesus into his life as his Lord and Savior. But in this particular instance, this boy had been thrown out of school because of something he had done in school. So, the pastor of that church said to our professor, "Let's go to his house." So they went to his house in the town there. They walked up on the porch. They could see through the window that the young man was sitting on the couch watching television. And the young man saw them out on the porch, and he just kind of laughed. So the pastor, who was this big brute of a guy, a black man, walked up to the door and he pounded on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And the young man came to the door and said hello to him. And his pastor took hold of this young man and lifted him up in the air and said, "You cannot do this," and sat the young man down. And the young man says, "What do you mean I can't do this?" And the pastor took him again right by here, and he lifted him up and he said, "You have been baptized. You cannot do this." And he took the young boy and he pulled him out on the porch out of the house and put him up against the side of the house, and he said, "You are a Christian. You cannot act like this." I'll tell you, you talk about conviction. But you know, the whole root of the problem was the young man had rejected the Holy Spirit's work in his life. Day by day, the Holy Spirit that lives inside us is working in us and all around us to point us in the right direction, to convict us when we've done wrong, to tell us what we are doing wrong, and to show us here's the right way to do it. Sometimes we call it our conscience, but in all reality, it's God's Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, as the Scripture says. And so many times we reject it. When we reject it, we find that we're in trouble. We find that we have more than we can handle. And the reason is because we've rejected the right path. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit in the last few weeks. And last week I made a comment that the Holy Spirit does not work inside an unbeliever. But I want to go a little bit farther with how the Holy Spirit does work in our world today, especially in unbelievers. The Holy Spirit works in the world and in the lives of believers. He does exactly what Jesus did when Jesus walked the earth physically. But instead of doing it fleshly and outwardly like Jesus did, the Holy Spirit is doing it inwardly, spiritually to us every single day of our lives. In the world, the Holy Spirit is convincing and convicting. The King James Version calls it reproving. The Holy Spirit is out there showing us what's wrong in regards to sin, righteousness, and judgment. In our lives, the Holy Spirit is at work teaching us. Now, last week I talked about how the Holy Spirit, when we receive Christ, we're washed, we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, and God puts His Holy Spirit in us, fills us up with gifts to do incredible things that we're not able to do by ourselves. But as we go on in our Christian lives, it's so easy to fall back into the way of sin. So we need something or someone in our lives every day, right beside us, in front of us, sometimes holding us back, behind us, sometimes saying, "Go ahead, take a step." Although the Holy Spirit does not push us, the Holy Spirit draws us. We need someone to direct us. And in the lives of believers, it's the Holy Spirit teaching us. in terms of conviction. As Jesus was talking about leaving his friends, now, we would have thought the worst thing in the world was for Jesus to leave at such a young age. How much more could he have taught his disciples and taught us that would have been written about in God's Word? But when Jesus left them, he said, I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. It's for your good that I'm going away. How can it be good that Jesus isn't present in the world physically? Jesus says, unless I go away, the Counselor won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he'll convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. I'll send him to you. And when he comes, the first thing the Holy Spirit will do is convict the world in regard to sin, in regard to righteousness, and in regard to judgment. You know, when somebody's convicted, they're convicted because there's evidence against them. Because the evidence proves that they're guilty of something. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of guilt based on the evidence in regard to sin and that the world has not believed. When we sin, it's because we choose not to believe. We choose not to believe what's right. We say, I think I know what's best. I think I'm going to do it this way. God says, all right, go ahead. Go ahead. And all of a sudden, things start to unwind, and we wonder why. We choose the right path, or we choose the wrong path. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us inside. We know it. We truly know it if we're believers. But sadly, so many times, we reject it. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of their guilt based on the evidence of unbelief in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men don't believe in Jesus. In regard to righteousness, because Jesus was going to the Father in terms of the Holy Spirit, based on the evidence, is saying to everybody, don't you believe this? Jesus ascended. It was proved. People saw him. And it's true that if you're like Jesus, you'll follow him. In regard to righteousness, because Jesus went to the Father, the Holy Spirit tells us there's one way to go there. And if we deny it, we're denying the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's working in our lives. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Because the Holy Spirit shows us that the prince of this world, that's Satan in case you don't know, was already condemned. He was condemned from the day he fell from heaven and rebelled himself. He was condemned. And the Holy Spirit convicts the world of this and tells the world this is the way it is. And sadly, many times the world doesn't believe. Now, Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, comes, and you see, this is the problem. The Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth, tells the truth. He doesn't lie. And he'll speak only what he hears. He'll tell you what's yet to come. He'll bring glory to me because he'll take from me what is mine, and he'll make it known to you. And what I have came from the Father, because all that belongs to the Father is mine. So the Holy Spirit takes what God gave to Jesus and gives it to us, makes it known to us. So it has to be truth, because there's only one truth in this world, and it's God. God's the only truth. All else is a lie. God's Word is truth. God Himself is truth. God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone is truth. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, what will He do to believers? He'll guide you into all truth. He'll guide you into all truth. And that truth will be obeying Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said earlier In John 14, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the counselor or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said to you. You see, this is what the Holy Spirit does. Teaches you what Jesus has said, and reminds you of what Jesus has said, and convicts you when you don't do what Jesus said. Because those who don't obey Jesus don't really love him. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world because the world doesn't love Jesus, but teaches the believer not just to know, but to live, giving us power and purpose. Why do we go to school? We go to school to learn, right? Why do we go to college? We go to college to get more knowledge, right? To learn. Why do we learn? Just so we have this knowledge up here? No, we go to learn and get that knowledge so that we can apply it and live it out in our lives the way that we want to, right? So the Holy Spirit teaches us all Jesus said and reminds us of all that he said. Because we don't have Jesus physically, we have the Holy Spirit spiritually inside us, believers, to remind us of what Jesus said and to teach us what Jesus said so that we can obey what Jesus said. In all of our life, in the way we spend money, in the way that we talk, in the way that we treat others, in the way that we love our neighbors, in the way that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, in the way that we talk, everything, in everything we do from the moment we put our feet on the floor in the morning, Holy Spirit is working inside a believer to teach them and to guide them that they are to obey Jesus in everything they do that day in life. Those who love Jesus will live according to Jesus' teachings. Those who don't love Jesus don't live according to Jesus' teachings. And the Holy Spirit shows us evidence in God's Word in regards to sin, in regard to righteousness, in regard to judgment, of what's going to happen to people who don't live according to Jesus and don't obey Jesus. You know, that was John Wesley's main message. Do you know John Wesley, in all the years that he preached, he only preached on John 3:16 17 times. 17 times. John Wesley was not an evangelist. John Wesley was what's called a soteriologist. A soteriologist is one who specializes in salvation and the salvation of a person's soul. But what John Wesley was concerned about was the fact that once somebody became a believer, why did they live the way that they lived? Why did they claim to follow Christ, but they lived according to the ways of Satan? So John Wesley's mission was to spread scriptural holiness throughout the land. Not so people could be saved, so that people could live holy lives. Because John Wesley knew that when people lived holy lives, they would be happier. That was John Wesley's mission. That was his message. Because he knew that if they rebelled against the Holy Spirit in their lives, they were going to be miserable people. How many miserable people do we have in our world today? We have a lot of miserable people, don't we? In fact, we're even miserable. Sometimes we might as well admit it. And the reason that God sent his Holy Spirit to teach us to obey Jesus and teach us, remind us what Jesus said. And if you don't know what Jesus said, you got to get a Bible, get it with the red lettering in it that shows you everything Jesus said, and start listening to what Jesus said. And you will see that that's the only way to be happy in Jesus, is to obey him. And God did this for our good. You see what Jesus is saying? It's for your good that I'm going away so that the Holy Spirit can come and teach you believers, guide you every single day, and convict the rest of the world of their sin. Because of the evidence against them. What seemed like a disaster, what seemed like the end of grace in the death of Jesus Christ, was the birth of sanctifying grace. If you don't know what sanctifying means, it means to sanctify something means to set apart. And once we are saved, receiving Jesus, receiving justification, or what we call justifying grace, we don't just sit around saying, oh, I'm saved, yep, I'm saved. Can't wait till Christ comes back, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. No. We start day by day to live our lives. And many times the battle gets worse before it gets better. But the Holy Spirit, for our good, came to live inside us, to teach us all that Jesus obeyed. So it's just exactly as we have Jesus in our life every single day, here in the flesh, guiding us step by step, sanctifying us so that we're set apart. We don't look like the rest of the world. When we start to look like the rest of the world, we're going down the tubes as a church, as Christians, as individuals.
Amen.
We are to be set apart. We are to look different so the world sees us and says there's something different about those people. And we can say, we have Jesus Christ in our lives. And we know that He's our King. And when we obey our King, He blesses us. It's for our good that God extended His grace beyond the cross, I should say. Grace doesn't end at the cross. It continues on till the day we die. Are we ever going to be perfect in this life? Anybody here this morning perfect? There was only ever one perfect man. What was his name?
Jesus.
You know, Jesus could have sinned. Jesus could have sinned. When Jesus came in the flesh, whose flesh was He in? Whose flesh was Jesus in? He was in Adam's flesh. He was in Adam's flesh through the birth from Mary. That's a tough thing to wrap our minds around. That God Himself came and inhabited a fleshly body. And He could have sinned, but He didn't, because He was obedient to the Father and the Father's will. Therefore, we see all He resisted. We see His life. We see how He was glorified and lifted up and exalted. And we will be too, obeying Christ, receiving Him as our Savior, and living every single day of our lives according to what the Holy Spirit teaches us. Anybody that says to me the Holy Spirit's not working in my life, there's a reason why. And that reason can only be because they've rejected Him, because He's constantly working. He's working in our world. He's working in the lives of believers. He's telling us the truth. And the reason we have problems like we do is because we are rejecting the truth. Because remember what Jesus said? The truth will set you free. It's for our good that what seemed like a disaster was actually the extension of a wonderful grace of God. That Jesus still lives today, right here, right now, inside of us, in the Holy Spirit, taking from what is Jesus and giving it to us. I praise God that He does that. That's the only way that I can stand here each Sunday and preach God's Word. I know in a lot of cases that's the only way that we get through our week, is knowing that there must be a better good, that God's not going to abandon us. That He's going to work His good in our lives for those who love Him. Let's pray. Well, Lord our God, thank You that You considered us, that when Jesus left this earth, You sent another Counselor, the Holy Spirit, that He lives and dwells in each one of us, that He uses the evidence of the world that rejects You against them, that they will be judged, that He also lives inside believers to teach them, to teach us, that we might have power and purpose living out our lives as Christians, that we might live the way You desire for us to live, overcoming evil and focused heavenward to that day when You will return for us. That's our great hope today, God, as we celebrate together, as we eat together, as we worship together here in the beauty of Your surrounding. Oh God, we pray that your Holy Spirit moves in our lives this week to teach us, to guide us, to convict us, and to strengthen us for our good. In Christ's name, amen. Let's turn to our inserts and join together in singing our last song, God Leads Us Along. Let's stand together as we sing.